Our scripture lesson this morning is again from the book of Ephesians. We're kind of going straight through the book of Ephesians of the month of August. It's the fourth chapter, reading verses 25 through the second verse of chapter 5. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our passage today ends in this great verse, as Hannah said, be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And if you read through this scripture, every preacher has got to decide what their focus is going to be in a chapter or in a particular scripture. And I'll tell you what's going on in Ephesians. You know, Paul is writing this letter to all these churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he's writing it, some of them that he knows and some of them he doesn't know. And the first half of the book has been his theology. And the second half is based on this great, you know, news about Jesus Christ. Here's your behavior. Here's what you do. And so this is the behavior side. And what's interesting to me is you could do a sermon on almost every verse in here. You know, you look at it, if we're going to say it kind of gets down to the therefore be imitators of God, any one of these is imitating God. Go to the top, verse 25, let us all speak the truth. Verse 26, be angry, but do not sin. That's a great verse. It's a command, it's an imperative, be angry. You wouldn't think the Bible would tell you to be angry, but there it is right there. Be angry, but do not sin. Thieves must give up stealing and work honestly. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. So I could pick any one of these to focus on as what is the imitation of God. But what I decided to do is choose the one that in the passage is right next to it. All right? The one that's right before you get there. And that is the one that says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has given you. So God, it says, God has forgiven you. If you want to imitate God, forgive one another. So I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on forgiveness. It's a big issue. And maybe you don't have anybody you need to forgive in your life. Maybe I can remind you of somebody. But how do you do that? How do you go about forgiving people? You know, you go through life, you know, people hurt us. We actually hurt people, other people. People hurt people we love. And in the middle of that is resentment and bitterness and all these things he says. And he's saying, you've got to forgive. Sometimes you have to forgive yourself. Sometimes you have to forgive somebody for what they did to somebody you care about. Or sometimes you have to forgive somebody that did it to you. So I want to try to see if you can think of someone who has wronged you, okay, in your life. Somebody that's hurt you or wronged you. And I'm going to tell you my story. I could pick others. This is just one. And mine is the story of a guy named Butch, not his real name. And when I was growing up, Butch would beat on me. Every day at school, he would hit me really hard on my shoulder. Every day. And I was smart enough to realize it would be really dumb to try to hit him back because I was real skinny and I was really hadn't developed yet, and he had, and he was real muscular and really big. And I had seen what Butch had done to people in fights, and it was bloody and it was not pretty. And so because I was intelligent, I never hit him back. But it would make me so mad every time he'd see me, he'd hit me. And I would feel ashamed of myself. And that shame was part of it too. And it only lasted like for one school year. It just seemed like it went forever. But then my parents sent me off to private school and that was the end of it. But I'll tell you what happened. So I go through high school. I go through 4 years of college. I go through 2 years of being in a band. I go for 4 years of seminary. And then you see I go to that church right there. And I'd been ordained for probably 4 or 5 years as a minister of the word and sacrament. And the word got to me from home that Butch had died. And that Butch had died horribly. That he had been burned up in a house fire. And my reaction was, yes! Oh, that's just great! I can't think of anything better. Justice has been done. Oh, man, I can't think of anybody that deserves to be burned up more than Butch. And then I thought, you're a Christian. You're a minister. How can you think like that? And that bitterness had gone on in me all those years. That unforgiveness had gone on inside me and just like an underground stream just sat there. And when I got the news of Butch's being burned to death, it jumped up. And I realized, oh my gosh, I have not forgiven him. And you know, at the time, it's just like, well, you know, if you forgive him, he's not going to know, you know. But that's my story about unforgiveness. I wonder if that brought anything up for you about unforgiveness, somebody that has hurt you. And so I wrote down a few things about forgiveness. And I'm just going to tell you, these are things I came up with, what forgiveness is not. So we kind of narrow down what we're talking about here. Forgiveness is not deciding that what a person did to you isn't a big deal now or not a problem anymore. You can forgive someone and still feel absolutely that what they did was a big deal and a big hurt. Forgiveness doesn't diminish or deny what a person did to you. You might need to forgive someone for an act of super cruelty that hurt you and took a long time to heal, but forgiving that person is not saying what they did is now suddenly okay. All right, so if you're thinking about forgiving somebody and you think, yeah, but what they did was so bad, it doesn't diminish how bad it was. Okay, so don't think that's forgiveness. It's not saying, okay, everything's fine. Second, forgiveness is not opening yourself to be hurt again by that person you're forgiving. And that's really important. You don't need to lower your defenses or allow yourself to be vulnerable and possibly hurt by them again to forgive them. In fact, it's actually healthy to keep your distance from toxic people and keep your guard up when you're dealing with them. You can forgive them and still do that. You don't need to be close to someone to forgive them. You don't need to even like them to forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean you go back to the way things were before. You can't. It's impossible. But even so, you can still forgive them for what they did. Three, forgiveness is not something you necessarily do for the benefit of the person who hurt you. It will help heal them, without a doubt. But it's not primarily something you are doing for them. As long as you harbor unforgiveness and resentment, that person is still in your head and they're still exercising some power over you. So, forgiveness is actually something you do for yourself. It's a way to heal. It's a way to move on. It's a way to get beyond that injury, put the past behind you, and start a new chapter. Think of my problem with Butch. That guy is dead, and I was still grinding my teeth over what he did to me. For me to forgive Butch does nothing for him at all. He's gone. He will never know. Forgiving Butch is something I can do for me. It sets me free. And then fourth, the list of the last one. Forgiveness is not something you have to do in your own strength. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to give us the power, the strength, to do things that otherwise are impossible. To forgive someone who has really injured you, done lasting damage to your life, that takes enormous strength. So for me, to forgive Butch, I had to start praying. I had to ask God to forgive me for holding on to that resentment for so long. A good way to forgive someone is just to start praying for them. You may not feel any different at first, but if you keep it up, God will change your heart. So tap into God's grace, God's power to forgive. Be an imitator of God because God has forgiven you. All right, so that's what forgiveness is not. Now, I'd like to give you an idea of what forgiveness is. And this is from a book called Wishful Thinking by Frederick Buechner, his definition of forgiveness. To forgive somebody is to say one way or another, you have done something unspeakable, and by all rights, I should call it quits between us. Both my pride and my principles demand no less. However, although I make no guarantees that I'll be able to forget what you've done, and though we may both carry the scars for life, I refuse to let it stand between us. To accept forgiveness as somebody forgiven you means to admit that you've done something unspeakable that needs to be forgiven, and thus both parties must swallow the same thing, their pride. For both parties, forgiveness means freedom again to be at peace inside their own skins and be glad in each other's presence. So now we get to this thing about being imitators of God, and you read that scripture differently. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath. Put away means you can do it. It's a command for us to put it away. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice, and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And that, to me, is the key, that God has forgiven us. You know, we think about how hurt we are and how hard it is to forgive people who have hurt us, and yet we don't think that God has forgiven us, and that we don't think that we had the capacity to hurt God, but we did. And God has to forgive us the way we forgive other people to get over that hurt of us being two-faced, of us leaving God, of us promising to serve and then not serving, of us saying we love and then we don't love. God got over that and forgave us. And so to be an imitator of God, we have to do that. And it says, I think it's really cool, it says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And I've had an occasion in the last month and a half to observe children quite close range. And my grandchildren, all six of them, have been around a lot. And one of the things I notice is that that's the way they learn to behave. You've got Ezra and Ethan, and Ezra's the oldest one. And Ethan, he went through a stage of repeating everything Ezra said right after him. Ezra says, I need some milk. And then right after Ethan goes, I need some milk. And it's like saying the thing, it's like a parrot. That's the way he's learning to talk. That's my big brother. And if he says it, it's okay. So I'm going to do it like him. We were watching the Olympics with Melody's kids and Anna, who's eight, when they were doing the women's gymnastics. They were doing the floor routine. And she was lying on the floor, rolling around on the floor, imitating the girls on the screen. And then when we got to track and field, she started running around the couch. She said, look how fast I am. Yeah, man. It's fast. But that's how kids learn. They learn by imitating other people. They learn by imitating us. You know, and so, you know, if you say a bad word at the supper table, you get the eye from your spouse going, don't say that, you know. Because they'll imitate it. They do what you do. And that's what we do with God. We need to imitate God. And a big part of imitating who God is forgiving. Forgiving those people who have wronged us the way God has forgiven us. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or as it says in another gospel, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That we are doing that, God is doing that. And that's part of being in imitation of God. So I want to close with a story. I just read this book again. I'd read it earlier. Have any of y'all read the book called The Hiding Place by Cor ten Boom? Cor ten Boom was a Dutch woman who was raised in Harlem is the name of the town, this with two A's. And her father was a watchmaker. So in the 1930s, she was raised learning how to make watches. And then when the Nazis occupied the Netherlands, they were Christians, but they were trying to protect their Jewish friends from being taken to concentration camps. So they cut a hole in one of their walls into a spare room, and then they would house these Jews until they could get out and get to safety, and they would have a chest that they would move over. And so that was their hiding place, and the name of the book was The Hiding Place. Well, eventually they were found out. Kind of sounds like the Anne Frank story. Eventually they were found out. And not only were the Jews they were sheltering taken to concentration camps, but they too were taken to concentration camps. And Cor ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, were taken to a concentration camp that was in Germany. It was the only one that was exactly for women. And it took, she has this whole account of how to get there. And the name of the camp was Ravensbrück. And it housed something like 50,000 women. And there were a lot of women guards and jailers, but there were men guards and jailers too. And she talks about this embarrassing scene where at the very beginning, as they were being processed in, every woman that came in had to strip absolutely naked and walk in a straight line past all these German SS soldiers who were laughing and jeering at them. And then they got a shower, and then they got their prison clothes. And that happened on a regular basis, and those same soldiers would laugh and jeer. Eventually, her sister Betsy died. They had a Bible that they somehow kept, and they shared the Bible with everybody. And it was just awful squalor. But finally they got out of all that cruelty. And they really felt a sense of burden, not just for the people who were inmates, but for the Germans who absolutely destroyed their own morality by the things they did and how they needed healing too. And so she established this community in the Netherlands for survivors of concentration camps so that they could tell their stories to each other. And then she went around preaching in churches about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God for all of our sins. And so she preached, especially in Germany, because she felt those people needed to hear it. So I'm going to pick up this story in Cor ten's own words. She says, it was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time, and suddenly, It was all there. The room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. And by the way, Betsy did not make it out. Betsy died of malnutrition and illness in there, and that was her dearest, dear sister, so she had a lot of hurt over that. The man came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to people in my own community the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man, and I was going to ask for more? "Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for the stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on God's. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. So, back to that person you've been thinking about. Back to Butch, for me. Do you even want to forgive them? Ask God to help you. As Corrie ten Boom said, "I discovered that it is not on our own forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on God's. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, he gives the love itself. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give your forgiveness." We go through our lives and things happen. And there are reasons for it, and sometimes there are not reasons for it. But we get hurt. And the idea of getting past it, we get hung up on that so many times. And so the key, if we're going to be an imitator of God, is to ask God to give us God's forgiveness and to begin to pray for that person by name until you really do are really, really able to forgive them. I want to close with a little tune that we sang in the pre-service music today. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Ephesians 4:32. Let's pray together. God, we struggle, as Corrie ten Boom did, to forgive. Please give us your forgiveness, the power of your Holy Spirit, to do something better and stronger than we in our own strength can do. Help us to be able to get these things, these people behind us, and to heal, and to have light again in those spots, and to experience your love as you love us through it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.